All right, Jevel said, good morning. Let's begin. All right, so we'll say, so today's daf, Baruch Hashem. First of all, an incredible yashar koach to the beautiful, and we'll say, you know, when you see a morning like this, Baruch Hashem, it's mamish a testament to what we say by the siyum, anu ratzin v'heim ratzin. You know, everybody has to run for their parnasa. Everybody has to run because that was the call of Adam Arishon. That we have to go ahead and we have to run in order to be able to make our parnasa. But on days when we don't have to run, on days, Baruch Hashem, where there's a little less running, where the lachatz is just a little bit less. So, Anuratzim Mehim Ratzim, when we don't have to run, Baruch Hashem, so we spend our energies, we spend our time, we take our mornings to be able to learn Torah. So, halavai, we should be Zochem Yerz Hashem to engage in this type of Ritza Dikdusha, in this type of Halig, holy running in Yerz Hashem for many years to come. All right, so let's begin. So, today's daf is Yurchas. We have a beautiful, beautiful daf ahead of us. We're picking up from Yuzayin Amud Beis 17b, and we are picking up with Vechi Masirin Min Adin, which is 2, 4, 6 lines up from the bottom. So our shir this morning, our shirim this month, are dedicated by Sammy and Malka Esterson in memory of their parents, Ludwig Stiefel, Yitzchok Lee ben Aaron HaKoin, and Hinda Esterson, Hinda Bas Henach Ephraim. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the Neshamas will have an aliyah, and the families on the Chama. Yes, and also a thank you to Michael Turniansky for dedicating the shir this morning. And again, if you have not yet visited his blog of Daf Yomi Limericks, Michael, what's the address? Okay, hopefully you heard that. Good. Excellent. Visit that, and it happens to be, they're great. It's actually a wonder, besides the fact that it's an incredible testament to Michael's creativity, it also happens to be an incredible way of just solidifying and crystallizing certain concepts that we learn each and every day. So let's begin. So remember, again, we spent the bulk of yesterday's daf focusing on a very dramatic drasha by Rashbi, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, in which case Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai took a pasuk in Devarim Perikud based pasuk Yud Zayin, the pasuk that says Lo sucha le'echol b'sharecha. Torah goes through a list of things that you are not permitted to eat within your gates, which is another way of saying you're not permitted to eat them outside of Yerushalayim. Now, where in Yerushalayim depends ultimately on the item, but you can't eat them out of Yerushalayim. And Rashbi, Darshan, the Pasuk, if you remember again, in reverse order, and that reverse drasha ultimately yielded some incredible reality, some incredible halachas. Now, it turns out that at the end of the day, Rashbi's drasha was disproved, because Rashbi's drasha was ultimately based on what we'll call like a pyramid system of chumras, starting with Ma'aser Sheni and working its way back. Rava ultimately proves that the drasha or the chumras are not exactly correct, but nevertheless, again, a Rashbi gets incredible accolade for the drasha. Shabbos say the Gemara asks another question. The Gemara says, "V'chi masir min adin." Rashbi is making a whole system of kal v'chumras based on the reverse drasha of the pasuk, which Shabbos say ultimately comes out that we're willing to punish people, and we're learning out punishments. We're learning out onshin, or excuse me, we're learning out lavim, prohibitions, from a kavachomer. So the Gemara says, do we learn out lavim, do we learn out prohibitions from a kavachomer? Ha'afil l'man damar onshin min adin in masir medir. Well, so we've touched on this concept many times. Even, remember, as a fundamental machlokes, as we know, let me take a step back, we know that a kavachomer is one of the exegetical principles through which we are able to learn and extrapolate different laws. The shaila is, can you learn out a lav from a kavachomer? And the further shaila is, can you learn out an onesh from a kal v'chomer? So what's the answer to that? Right, good. I'll give you a hint. You're safe. However you answer. It's a machlokes about masirin min adin, which means can you go ahead and learn an asara? Can you learn a lav out from a kal v'chomer? Onshin min adin, can you learn out an onesh from a kal v'chomer? That is subject to fundamental machlokes. So the Gemara says, Rashbi, his whole drasha, it will say, is based on learning out lavin from a kal v'chomer. It's based on learning out prohibitions from a kal v'chomer. So the Gemara says, can you learn out a lav from a kal v'chomer? Because even the one who says that you could punish, that you could give an onesh based on a kal v'chomer, in masir min adin, we do not go ahead and learn out a lav from a kal v'chomer. To which the Gemara says, you're right, isura ba'alma. So all Rashbi is coming to ultimately do is to say that something is usur. Look at Rashi for just a moment. We'll say fourth wide line in Rashi. Isuri ba'alma. Hadi kamaisi bekulu asara b'kavachomer li'isuri ba'alma ka'amar v'lo l'malkus. When Rashbi says that something is asur, it means, when he learns out from this drasha, meaning it'll be asur, but if you were to violate any of these isurim, you would not be chayiv malkus. So the Gemara is saying, Ein achinami, even Rashbi is respecting the principle of pein ma'asira min adin. When he learns out in Isri, he's learning out just that. It's asur, but violation would not result in malkus. So the Gemara says, one second. Va'amar. But Rava said that if a non-coin eats from an ola before the blood is sprinkled outside of the walls of Yerushalayim, I will say that English wasn't good, but I mean a person is eating a non-coin is eating from an ola before the blood has been sprinkled right on the mizbeach, and the actual act of consumption is taking place outside of the walls of Yerushalayim. The Rabbi Shimon loke chamesh, according to Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, you would get five sets of malchus. Now we understand that. We understand that because that's based on his drasha from yesterday. That if a non-kohen eats from an ola before the blood is sprinkled on the mizbeach and the act of consumption occurs outside of the walls of Yerushalayim, you would incur five sets of malchus. So what do you see from here? You see, if when Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai learns out these Yisurim, it's not just an Isser, right? It's not just a prohibition, but rather what is he learning out? He's literally learning out a chi of malchus. You're chai five times. To which the Gemara says, no, you have to change it to read Chamisha Isurin Havu. You have to read it not five Malkus, but instead what? Five Isurin. Five Isurin. So according to Rashbi, from based on his Kavachomer, Rashbi will respect the fact that you cannot learn out a Chi of Malkus from a Kalvachomer. You can learn out an Isser. So we're making an interesting distinction. See, normally we assume that if something is an Isser, then violation of that Isser results in what? Malkus. The Gemara is saying not necessarily. You could have situations where ultimately at the end of the day, violation of a particular Isser will still be Asser, meaning you violated an Isser, but lav dafka that it's Malkus. So the Gemara says, v'ha nan tanan. But we learned, Elohein halokin. These are the ones who receive Malkus. And we'll say, look at Rashi for just a moment. Last Rashi on the daf. V'ha nan tanan, Elohein halokin. V'katoni. Bikurim va'ochle kodshei kadoshim chutz lekilayim. And I will say, included in the list, this is our Mishnah, included in the list of those who get Malkus are those who go ahead and eat Bikurim before the Kriya. Those who, we'll discuss that more today, and those who eat kodshei kadoshim, which are the highest sanctity karbanos outside of the walls of the Beis HaMikdash. So you see from here what? You see from, now these are things that are learned out from the list of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. So you see that when Rashbi learns his Kavachomer, he's not just learning it for Isser, rather he's also learning it for what? For Malkus. So we'll say, so says the Gemara. So we'll say, so we're stuck, so just understand where we are. We're stuck with a fundamental question, which is, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai makes this beautiful, magnificent, riveting, reverse drasha that is based on a series of Kavachomers. And it seems to be that he's learning out the Chiv of Malkus, the Chiv of Lashes, from those Kalvachomers. But how does that stim with the concept of Ein Masirin or Ein Onshin Min Adin? That we cannot go ahead and learn out prohibitions from Kalvachomers. So the Gemara wanted to suggest he's not really learning out prohibitions. He's not really learning out Malkus. He's just learning out prohibitions. We've seen now twice that that's not true. When Rashbi says that these offenses are punishable, it's not just saying I violated a prohibition, but literally he's saying I'm Chayiv Malkus. How do we understand it? Tap of Yud Chesam Daf Rabo say, Ela, Kra Yisiruhu. Rather, what's happening over here? Rashbi ultimately, again, is learning out from an additional pasuk. Rabbi will say, what's the extra pasuk? So, ksiv veve sasham. So, we'll say the pasuk says, veve. Now, again, Rabbi will say, these are consecutive psukim. The first pasuk we're about to quote is from Dvarim, Perek Yud Beis, Halacha Vav. If you have the Torah or HaShalom, you can see the pasuk inside. Pasuk says, veveisam shama oloseichem, vizivcheichem, esmas roseichem, vestrumas yadchem, unidrechem, venidvoseichem, ubechor, ubechoros, bekarchem, mitzonachem. So Torah says explicitly, you shall bring to Yerushalayim, and it lists all of these things, an ola, a zevach, a meister, truma, nidarim, nidavos, bechoros, all the different things, okay? So therefore the brother said, what is the Torah telling me? What's the Torah telling me? That these items must be consumed within Yerushalayim. Now again, to be clear, they're not all the same. Some of them just have to be consumed in the walls of Yerushalayim. Others could be consumed. Others must be consumed on Har HaBayis. But watch this. What does it say afterwards? Michti ksif veveis Hashem v'achaltef ne'Hashem alokecha b'makom. Sabose, the problem is, the Pasuk says, V'achaltem, not the problem, then the Pasuk says, V'achaltem shal lefnei Hashem Elokeichem, usmachtem mechom mishlach yedchem atom. So, Torah says, bring it to Yerushalayim and eat it there. Okay. Now says the Gemara, Lichtov rachmana lo suchal la'ochlam, mehadem mefarish bu rachmana lamali. Sabose, here's what's interesting. So now there's a follow-up Pasuk. What's the follow-up Pasuk? The follow-up Pasuk is, that's the Pasuk that Rashbi quoted, Lo sucha le'echol b'sharecha, you may not eat in your gates. And what does the Torah go through? The Torah goes through the whole list of items. Ma'aser digancha, tiroshcha, yitzarecha, b'choros, bekarcha, tzonecha. So I understand, why is the Torah coming along and saying, Lo sucha le'echol b'sharecha? Why is the Torah doing that? To give you a lav, right? Because remember again, was everybody with me? It's like sugar shock from the donuts. Everybody's good. Right? So understand what's happening over here. So the Torah gives me an assay, right? The assay says, which means you have to take all of these sacred items and you have to bring them into your shalom and eat them there. Fine. And the Torah goes through the exhaustive list of all the items. Afterwards, there's another pasuk. The other pasuk says, Lo sucha le'echo b'sharecha. You may not eat in your gates. And what does the Torah do? Go through the entire list of items again. Now, why does the Torah have to say, Lo sucha le'echo b'sharecha? You may not eat it in your gates. The Torah already told me, Ve'aveisim shama, to bring it to Yerushalayim. So we understand. Ve'aveisim shama is an assay, is a positive commandment. The Torah, by going ahead and bringing down this other pasuk of Lo sucha le'echo b'sharecha, is saying that if you eat it outside of Yerushalayim, there's a lav. But here's the problem. Why does the Torah have to list all of the items again? Why list all the items again? You gave me the list of items because you didn't have to eat these items in Yerushalayim. You want to give me a lav to tell me that if I eat it out of Yerushalayim, I'm in violation of a lav? Fine. Then all you have to need to do is say what? Lo sucha lecho b'sharecha, period. You may not eat this in your gates, period. And I know, what is the this? All of the items mentioned beforehand. Why does the Torah HaKadosha need to relist all of the items again? It's a good kasha. So the Gemara says, rather, lichtov rachmana lo sucha la'ochlam, just write, you cannot eat them outside of Yerushalayim, or you cannot eat them in your gates. Mehadem mefarish bu rachmana lamali. Why does the Torah have to list the entire list again? Ela liachudi lohu lavi l'chol chad v'chad. Rather, Rabbi say, what is the Torah coming to teach me? The Torah is coming to teach me, Rabbi say, that each individual item has its own unique love. So therefore, again, what's happening over here? Rashbi is essentially able to say, I'm not learning out a law from a Kal v'Chomer. What am I learning out the law for each individual item? The fact that the Torah Kedosha went back and explicitly articulated each individual item by itself, that tells me what? That there is a separate law for each item. So we'll say, feel so much better now, right? Because we had this incredible kasha on Rashbi, right? And we're wondering, how is Rashbi going to be mitaris? It's because he seems to learn out a lot from a Kal v'Chomer. And everybody seems to say, we're not learning out a lot from a Kal v'Chomer. Through Rashbi says, don't worry, take it easy. We're not learning out lavin from a Kal v'Chomer. What are we learning out lavin from? From a repetition of words in a pasuk. The fact that the Torah feels compelled to restate all of the items once again tells me that each of these items mentioned in the pasuk is governed by its own distinct lav. Good? Good. Because according to Rashbi, each of those Kal v'Chomers still learn out something else that's unique. They're not learning out a lav. Remember, again, each of them are learning out some other. He's learning out a unique halacha from each of the Kal v'Chomers, but not a lav. The lav itself comes from the repetition on the pasuk. The Kal v'Chomer teaches me other things as we saw yesterday. So good for Rabbi. Let's go back and analyze this a little bit. Amar Rava. So we'll say, now we're going to pay attention to one specific case. Amar Rava. Zar she'achal min ha'olah l'fnei zvika chutz l'chomah. So we'll say, this guy's got a lot of time on his hands. So what happens? So there is a zar, a non-kohen. Now, there's a number of things that are happening over here. Number one, he's a non-kohen who's partaking of sacrificial items, which is potentially problematic. So a zar who's eating from a karban before the blood was sprinkled. They're both saying, who's allowed to eat from a karban before the blood was sprinkled? No one, right? So number one, even if it was the type of karban which you could eat from, you could only eat from zrika, after zrika. But remember, what kind of karban is this? It's an ola. The halacha of an ola is it's totally consumed on the mizbeach. So he's partaking of a karban that is not really partakeable. right? Right? That again, that you cannot partake of, right? That is not edible. The halach is you're not permitted to eat it. So he's eating it before Zrika. So remember, number one, you can't eat it. Number two, he's eating it, even if you could eat it, you can't only eat it after Zrika. He's eating it before Zrika. Number three, chutz l'choma. Rabbi say, all karbanos must be consumed in Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh. He is eating it outside of the walls of Yerushalayim. So Rabbi say, so what's happening over here? The Rabbi Shima loke chamesh. So as we already established, according to Rabbi Shimon Bosei, you get five sets of malchus. According to Rabbi Shimon Bosei, we saw this in yesterday's daf, he's in violation of five different prohibitions, five different malchus. So Bosei, now the Gemara is going to say, you know what? There probably should be more malchus that this guy gets. The Gemara is just saying, now remember, Rabbi Shimon Bosei learned, we saw his drashas already as to where he's learning out the five malchus. So the Gemara says, aren't there additional isurim that he's violating? V'lilkin nami mishum v'zar lo yochal ki kodeshim. The boss said, there's another isur. What's the other isur? The other isur is that he's an akohen, right? There's a law that says that a zar, a non-kohen, is not permitted to eat from sacrificial items. So give him another set of malchus because of this. To which the Gemara says, no. I'll tell you why he doesn't get malchus for this. Hanimi l'heichad l'kohanim chazi. Hochad l'kohanim nami lo chazi. So boss said, listen to this. When do you get malchus for v'zar lo yochal? The boss says, zar lo yochal means that in a case where kohanim are permitted to partake of the karban and the non-kohen partakes of it, there's v'zar lo yochal. But the boss says, this is an ola. In the case of an ola, what's the halacha? No one can partake of it. So if no one can partake of it, the boss says, there's no unique halacha of zar lo yochal. So what's it? It's interesting. In other words, zar lo yochal is the probe. It's like the other side of the karbanic coin. If on one side of the coin there is a coin's ability or license to consume, the flip side of that is wherever the coin has the right to consume, the zar has the isser to consume. Whenever the coin cannot consume, by definition, there is no unique lav for the zar. Fine. What about the following? V'loki nami mishum ubasar basoda treifa lo sochilu. Boss is actually very interesting. Why don't you go ahead and give him malchus for the prohibition of basar basoda treifa lo sochilu? Boss, now let's understand. What does this particular halak, what does this lav really mean? Basar basoda treifa lo sochilu is a very simple lav, which means what? If you find meat in a field, that or an animal in a field, trefa, what's a trefa, Rabbi Osai? The assumption over in this context is an animal that's killed by another animal. Lo sochilu, you can't eat it. Why can't you eat it? Because it wasn't shechted, right? It didn't have proper shechita. The Gemara ever darshins this pasuk. We'll see this in Maseches Chulin, but darshins this pasuk, Rabbi Osai, to also mean something else, which is what? Kevan sheyotza basar chutz lemechitzaso ne'esar. Rabbi Osai, basar basada, the Gemara also darshins to mean any meat that has left its boundaries, its permitted boundaries, treifa lo sochilu. You are not permitted to eat it. So both say, the Chazal applied this pasuk not just to a treifa, not just to an animal that is killed by another predatory animal out in the wilderness that you can't eat it because it wasn't shechted, but this also means the following. Any animal which has wandered into the field, which I will say means what? Any meat which has left its permitted boundaries is permitted. Now I will say, what's an example of meat which has left its permitted boundaries? There's only one example of that, which is what? Sacrificial meat. Sacrificial meat which must be consumed, again, Abba said, depending on the karban, either within the Harabayis, or at least within the walls of Yerushalayim. If it leaves Yerushalayim, if it leaves its boundaries, it falls under the category of basar basada treifa lo sochilu. What's happening in our case over here? The Zar, the non-kohen, is taking the ola where? Where? Outside of the walls of Yerushalayim. So why not give him a sixth set of malchus for basa basa de trefa lo sochilu? So once meat has left its permitted boundaries, its permitted framework, its mechitzos, ne'esar. So Gemara says, no. Hani mili heicha de bethnim chazi. The boss says, when do you give malchus for basa basa de trefa lo sochilu? In other words, when do you give malchus for meat leaving its permitted boundaries? Only when it was permitted for consumption inside its boundaries. Hacha debithnim nami lochazi. The boss say here, remember what kind of carbon we're dealing with? An ola, which means what? It was never fit for consumption, even where? Even inside the boundaries. So boss say, so essentially what the Gemara is saying is there are certain prohibitions that could only apply when at some point in time the actual item, or in this case the carbon, was fit for consumption. But if the carbon was not fit for consumption, like the case of an ola, so you cannot give a zar malchus for taking it outside of the mechitzos. Next, another try. Maybe we should say that we should give him another set of malchus in accordance with the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. What does Rabbi Eliezer say? Dam Rabbi Eliezer, lo yochal ki kodeshu. The pasuk says, "You shall not eat it, for it is kodesh." Amad v'ezer bosei. Kol shebe kodesh pasul. So kol shebe kodesh pasul. Ba kosav litein lo sase al achilaso. The bosei. This is actually very interesting. Rabbi Eliezer says, "Kol kodesh lo yochal ki kodeshu." Bosei. According to Rabbi Eliezer, is like a generic lav. That whenever you do something wrong with sacrificial meat, whenever you do something wrong with sacrificial meat, almost we're going to patch you with another lav. So why not give him a sixth set of malchus? Because Rebbe will say, remember again, as much as he's a non-kohen, he's eating the meat before Zrika, it's an ola, so it's not prepared for consumption, and he's eating it outside the walls of Yushalayim, he should be in violation of the generic lav of kol kodesh lo yochal ki kodeshu. He may not eat it because it is kodesh. Kol shebe kodesh pasul. Anytime Rebbe will say, you eat something that is kodesh and pasul, ba kosov litein lo sase al achilaso. Torah is coming to just patch you with another lo sase, so give him a sixth set of malchus. So hanimili, to which the Gemara says, one second. That is true when hecha de kodem pisulo chazi. We'll say, again, you keep coming back to the same thing, which is, that is only true if what? If before the item became pasul, it was fit for consumption at some point. And I was about to say, the item could only become pasul if what? If at some point in time it was in fact fit for consumption. However, again, hacha, dekodim pisulo nami lo chazi. Here I will say, even before you took it out of Yerushalayim, it was still not fit for consumption. V'lil kinami kidach Rabbi Eliezer. Okay, so let's try to give him malchus for another thing. Let's try to give him malchus ultimately again for the other position of Rabbi Eliezer. What's the other position? Sorry.
Amen.
Says the Gemara, "Vinil kilnami kidach Rabbi Eliezer." Rabbi said, "Let's give him Malchus for the other position of Rabbi Eliezer." Rabbi Eliezer said, "This anya, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, kol shehu bekalil tia, slitain aslo sase alachiloso." Rabbi said, "Listen to this. There's another pasuk. What's the other pasuk?" Rabbi said, "Kalil tia." Rabbi said, "What is kalil tia? That there are certain karbanos. There are certain karbanos that ultimately, again, are supposed to be totally consumed on the Mizbeach, that they are not to be consumed at all." Of course, an Ola is an example of that. So why not go ahead, and in this particular case over here, so what happens? So this individual, this Zar, is taking an Ola. An Ola is supposed to be Kadalti, it's supposed to be totally consumed on the Mizbeach, and now he's eating it. So why not go ahead and say, Rabbi Eliezer says, anytime you take something that is supposed to be consumed on the Mizbeach, and you consume it, litein lo sase al achiloso, Torah is coming to give you another lo sase for the act of consumption, to which the Gemara says, inachinami. That is correct. That is correct, meaning this would actually make him liable to another set of malchus. Aye, so why does Rava only say five malchus, not six? Now, as we're supposed to say, it turns out that a zar, it's good to know, a zar who eats from an ola before the zrika, and the act of consumption occurs outside of the walls of Yerushalayim, will in fact, in total, be subject to how many sets of malchus? Six. Rebbe will say, no, six, correct. Why? Rebbe will say, so five based on the pasuk of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, and six based on the Kalil Tiyah. If that's the case, then why does Rava say that he's only subject to five? To which the Gemara says, oh, very simple. The Rava may high krak amar. I will say, ultimately, again, when Rava says that you're subject to five sets of malchus, what is Rava referring to? Rava is referring to the five sets of malchus learned out from the pasuk darshan by Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. But again, there could be other sets of malchus that come from other psukim, as in fact there are. There is one additional set of malchus, that is learned out from the drasha of Rabbi Eliezer, based on the pasuk of Kalil Tiyah. So ultimately, again, in total, the Zar, who eats the Ola, before Zrika, outside of the walls of Yerushalayim, will in fact be subject to six sets of Malchus. Five come from the Drasha, from the pasuk of Rashbi, and one additional set comes from the Drasha of Kalil Tiyah. Good. So we'll say, let's go back there. Amrav Gidl, Amrav. Kohen. We're switching gears a little bit. Kohen. Sha'achal mechatas va'asham lefnei Zrika. We'll say, watch this case. Now we're back to a Kohen. So at least in this case over here, we're talking about Kohanic consumption. So a Kohen goes and eats from a Chatas and an Asham before Zrika. So he eats from the Chatas and the Asham before the blood is sprinkled. Loke. We'll say ultimately again, he gets Malchus. My timer. We'll say, what's the reason why he gets Malchus? V'achlu osam asher kupar bahem. La'achar kapara in, lifnei kapara lo. So we'll say, how do we darshan? So the Gemara says, so remember, this is a kohen who's eating from a chatas and an asham before zrika. So the Gemara now says, our Shir of Gidl says the name of Ravi gets malchus. Why? Because the pasuk says, va'achlu osam asher kupar bahem. Those who receive the atonement will eat from it. So I will say, what do we darshan from this? Now, I want to be clear. Is a kohen permitted to eat from a chatas and an asham? The answer is yes. But when? La'achar kapara in, lifnei kapara lo. I will say, if you look at the wording of the pasuk, it says, va'achlu osam asher kupar bahem. They will eat from them, those who achieve kapara. Really, it doesn't mean those who achieve kapara, it means those who affect the kapara. Which tells me that the kohen is permitted to consume or to eat of the chatas and asham when? After the kapara has been affected. Rabbi will say, when is kapara affected? When is kapara affected? After the zrik, after speaking with the Rabbi will say, you know, I'll tell you, we're amongst friends, so we could always speak honestly. Sometimes when they get to these karbanos, like when I hear zrika, so when I say zrika, you put your head down, right? And I say, so sometimes, again, when we get to Karbanos, like we say, Karbanos, right? We try to scan ahead a little bit. Is this, are we getting into like Karbanos, I guess? All right, is this like a long haul or is this a couple of lines? I can make it through it. I'll drink another coffee. You know, listen, just you should know. Say, when we hear these Gemaras, this is an incredible opportunity to yearn for the Beis HaMikdash. Because the reason, unfortunately, why we tune out very often when it comes to Karbanos is because we say, it's not Halacha L'Maisa. I will say, to say those words, not Halacha L'Maisa, makes the neshama cry. It hasn't been Halacha L'Maisa for 2,000 years. I will say, it can become Halacha L'Maisa this morning, it can become Halacha L'Maisa tomorrow, it can become Halacha L'Maisa literally keheref ayin. So it's a special avoda when we learn these halachos about karbanos. I will say, to dafka, not just not tune out, but to pay even more special attention, to say, Ribono Shel Olam, you know what? I'm having incredible difficulty relating to this. I'm having incredible difficulty finding any like little bit of joy in this, any bit of cheshek in this. To be honest, Kadosh Baruch Hu, because you can read my mind anyways, might as well be honest with you. It's profoundly boring, and I hope it's over soon. I hope it's over soon. Even Malchus is even better than this, right? I will say, but understand that the more we push ourselves to just pay attention to these halachas, retain these halachas, and yearn for this. So, Rosh Hashanah, unfortunately, I find it uninvigorating because I haven't had a Beis HaMikdash for 2,000 years. But if you give me back a Beis HaMikdash, I promise that this will become exciting. This will become lemaisa. Allow me to put these halachas into action. I mean, not these particular halachas into action, because this is all people doing things wrong. But lemaisa again, to be able to relate with these sugyas with the new cheshek. So I will say, when we learn it, and if we push ourselves a little bit of islavos, mamish, it's a kiyum of achak yelo b'chol yom sheyavo. So the Gemara goes weiter. So why is it that if a kohen eats from the chatas and the asham before zrika, why is it ultimately again that he gets malchus? Because the pasuk says va'achlu osma shekupar bahem, that you can only eat from them after kapara has been affected. Shabbos say, what do you learn out from that? Now that is an asay. What's happening over here? You're learning out a lo sase from the asay. So from the fact that the Torah says in a positive way, you can eat from them after atonement, tells me that what? If I eat from them before atonement, then what? I get malchus. But 1 second, it says the Gemara. So the Gemara says, la'achar kapara in, lifnei kapara lo. What is that? Rabbi say, what do we call that? That's halav, alav haba michlal asay lavu. Rabbi say, we just said something very interesting. That is a prohibition that is learned out or that is inferred from a positive commandment. Again, Rabbi say, the Torah never says a prohibition. What does the Torah say? The Torah says a positive commandment. The Torah says a positive commandment. Va'achlu osma shekupar bahem. You can eat from them after kapara has been affected. The Torah is teaching me that I could eat, the kohen could eat from the chatas and the asham when after zrika, but I learn out from there a lav. That's what's called a lav haba michlal asay lavu. That if I learn a prohibition through a positive commandment. So if the positive commandment tells you that I can eat from it after kapara has been affected, the lav I learn out from that is what? Is what? That I can't eat from it before kapara. And therefore, Rabbi say, if a kohen eats from a chatas or an asham before zrika, talochas he gets malchus. Lav haba michlal asay, a lav that is inferred from a positive commandment is a lav. Massive Rabbi. Rabbi says, 1 second, is that really true? V'chol behemah mafres says, parts of a show sash shesa shei process malas kira behemah osa tachilu. So I say the pasuk says by kashrus. Pasuk says every animal that has split hooves and chews its cud. So by behemah in the animals osa tachilu. That animal you could eat. Osa tachelu, ve'oso ta'osa tochelu, ve'in behemah cheres tochelu. Both say the halach is what? You may eat that animal, in other words, an animal that has these simani kashrus, but any other animal you may not eat. Ve'idika amrit, and if that is so, ezelos ochilu lamali. So what the Gemara is asking is something very interesting. If indeed you have the ability to learn out a lav haba mechlala say, if you have the ability to learn out a prohibition based on a positive commandment, then what Rabbi say? That last phrase is repetitive. Once the Torah tells me v'chol behema mafreses parsa b'shosas sesha shtei prasos, so Rabbi say then by definition I understand that what? I understand that halacha lemaisa I can only eat these animals and not other animals. Why do I need the additional drasha of osa tochelu? I can, in other words, we'll say, once you tell me lav haba mechlal asei, I have the ability to learn out any prohibition from any positive commandment. Why do I once again need the statement of osa tochelu? So Rishon Gemara says, v'idika amrat ezet tochelu lamali. Why don't I need ezet tochelu altogether? I can just learn out the lav ultimately again from v'chol behem mafreses parasa. Ela iitmar hochi itmar. Rather, we'll say, if you're going to say the halacha, you have to say it. Amar Rav Gidl, Amar Rav, here we go. Zar sha'ach. So we'll say we're reframing the Kohanic halacha before. Zar sha'ach al mechatos v'asham lefnei zrika potter. Oh, we'll say, what's the halacha? That if a zar, now we'll say we're switching the cases now. Originally, how do we start? We started with a kohen. Now we're switching the case. A non-kohen. Eats from a chatos or an asham before the zrika. We'll say at least the good news is what? He's eating it where? It appears in the Beis HaMikdash. So it appears at least in, so okay, at least he's not outside the Chumos. So it's a non-Kohen who's eating the Chatas and the Asham before the Zrika, before the sprinkling of the blood, Potter. The Bosa is Potter from all punishments. Now why is that? My time, okay, get ready. Domakra, va'achlu osam asher kupar bahem. Because it will say, what does the Pasuk say? Who's allowed to eat? Those who affect the kapara are permitted to go ahead and eat from the carbon. So how do we darshan? So we'll say, what does that pasuk teach me? That pasuk teaches me two things. Number one, that kohanim have the right to eat from a chatas and a asham, but only when? Only after the kapara has been affected, which is when? After zrika. Watch this. Kol heicha dikarinon bei va'achlu osam asher kupar bahem, karinon bei v'zar lo yochal kodesh. Remember we said before that there's two sides to this coin. Whenever a coin is permitted to eat, whenever there's an assay that says a coin could eat from it, there is a corresponding prohibition for a non-coin to consume it. So whenever we say, va'achlu osam asher kupar bahem, that's the assay for the coin to eat it, there is a corresponding lav that says, v'zar lo yochal ki kodesh, v'zar lo yochal kodesh. So therefore, Abosai, v'chol eichon, delo karina be v'achlo osam asher kupar bahem, and whenever, Abosai, we don't say that the Kohanim could eat it, therefore what? Lo karina be v'zar lo yochal. Abosai, this is a riveting drasha. Why is it a riveting drasha? Because what it's saying is the following. We read this line and we say to ourselves, so can we get this right? If a non-Kohen goes ahead and eats from a chatas or an asham before the zriga, what's the halacha? He's potter. What? So first of all, I'll say, pater, you know, means what? Right? Pater means he doesn't get a punishment. Pater doesn't mean there's no liability. In other words, Bazin is not going to punish him. It does not mean that what he's doing is correct. It doesn't mean that what he's doing is not going to be without divine repercussions. But let me get this straight. If a non-Kohen eats from a chatras or an asham before zrika, there's no penalty? Tush Gemara says, yes. Why? We'll say, amazingly enough, it's a technicality. What's a technicality? A non-Kohen could only be in violation of carbonic consumption. Prohibited carbonic consumption, PKC, right? Just remember that. Prohibited carbonic consumption. You could only be chayav for that when, Rabbi Osai, when the kohen has a license to eat. In other words, only when the kohen has license to eat do I as a non-kohen have a prohibition for consumption. So Rabbi Osai, so therefore, before Zrika, who has the license to eat? No one. And therefore, again, if I eat from the chatas and asham before Zrika, I'm going to be pater. Get off on a technicality. Only time I'm in violation of v'zar lo yochal kodesh is after the Zrika. Since after the Zrika, the kohen has the license to eat, therefore, again, I have my corresponding prohibition ultimately of non-Kohanic consumption. Say amazing. So let's go back there. I told you, karbanos can be riveting. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. Karbanos are exciting. Amr b'lazar aloshia. But I'll say now, we're switching karbanos a little bit, going back to Bikurim. So Bikurim, hanocha ma'akev espan, kriye ma'akev espan. So we'll say, so now we go back a little bit. So the Gemara says like this. The Gemara says, Bikurim, so we'll say Bikurim are first fruits you have to bring into the Beis HaMikdash, they are consumed by the Kohen. So Rabbi Loza said in Rabbi Oshia, Hanocha Ma'akev Vesra, we'll say, placement of the Bikurim by the Mizbeach, That's ma'akev. In other words, if you don't place them by the mizbeach, you have not fulfilled the ritual rite of bikurim. However, kriya in ma'akev. So we'll say, remember we saw this yesterday. What's kriya? Kriya is that when you bring the bikurim, you're saying with them a number of psukim. We'll say, remember again, I mentioned this yesterday. If you want to see the whole mikra bikurim, where do you look? I mean, look in the Torah, obviously, but in the Haggadah. Right? We'll say the whole Mikra Bikurim is a major part of Magid. There's a whole discussion of why exactly we use these psukim in the Haggadah for Magid, and that other psukim, not for now. In any event, Rebbe Lozer says that it is the Hanukkah, the placing by the Mizbeach, that we'll say is the most important part of the Bikurim service. The recitation of the psukim is important, but it's not Ma'akeh. Me, Rebbe Lozer, how could Rebbe Lozer really say this? Vama Rabbi Elazar, Rebbe Oshia, Hifrish Bikurim Koldim Lechag V'Avra Aleim Lechag. Rebbe Lozer, listen to this. If you separated out Bikurim before Sukkis, Rebbe Lozer, just understand, the optimal time for Bikurim is between Shavuos and Sukkis. If you bring Bikurim between Shavuos and Sukkis, you bring them and you do the Kriya. If you bring them after Sukkis, you could still bring them, but what? No Kriya, no recitation. So watch this. So Hifrish Bikurim called them Lechag. I separate out Bikurim before Sukkis. Va'avar Aleihen Hachag. And Sukkis passed and I didn't bring them. What's the halacha? Yirkavu. Rabbi say you leave them to rot. You leave them to rot. Rashi says over here, Hifrish Lefnei Hachag. It's right across from the Bach. In Rashi, chal alein chovas kriya, varva alein achag, she'enon ru'uyin od l'kriya. Rabbi Yossi said, if you let them sit until after Sukkis, you can bring them still, but there's no longer a recitation. My lav mishum dolo matzi l'mikri alehen. Rabbi Yossi, is that not because, again, you can no longer read the psukim? In other words, why do they have to rot? It must be because what? Because you can no longer do the kriya. Rabbi Yossi, what does that show you? That kriya is ma'akev. That kriya is important. To which the Gemara says, kriya in ma'akeves, am I yirkevu? I don't understand. Fine, I didn't bring them, I separated them before Sukkis, I didn't get a chance to bring them on Sukkis, now after Sukkis. So I understand that now I can no longer do the kriya, but I should still be able to what? To bring the bikurim. The fact that you're telling me that I have to let the bikurim rot seems to indicate to me what? Seems to indicate, do I both say that what? That kriya is ma'akev. What's going on over here? Am I yirkevu? Kedrabi zera. I both say, get ready for this. Dam Rabbi Zera. So I will say, this is amazing. No, kriya is not ma'akev. The truth is, you don't have to do the recitation. But watch this. Dam Rabbi Zera, kalaroi lebila ain bila ma'akeves bo, v'chin she'ino roi lebila bila ma'akeves bo. I will say, this is by a karban mincha. The halacha of the karban mincha is the following. The halacha is, Rabbi Zera, that in a particular kli sharis for a karban mincha, you could put up to 60 isaron into for a karban mincha, up to 60 isaronis. An isaron is a measurement. 60 isaron into a kli sharis for a karban mincha. Any more than 60, I will say. So, for example, if I pledge 61 isaron for a karban mincha, that's fine. 60 isaron could go into one kli. The other isaron goes into one other kli. Why, Rabbi Osai? Because the halacha is up to 60 isaron could be properly mixed in a kli sharis. More than 60 isaron cannot be properly mixed in a kli sharis. But Rabbi, I want to tell you something amazing. Do you have to mix a karban mincha? No. Do you have to mix it? The halacha is no. But it has to be ra'i lebila. Right? Ra'i lebila means what? It has to be mixable. As long as it is mixable, you don't have to mix it. The moment that it is no longer mixable, then what? The carbon is disqualified. So I will say this becomes like a paradigm in halacha. Kalaray lebila, anything that can be mixed, and bila makeves doesn't have to be mixed. The chalashenaray lebila, if it's not mixable, then what? Then the bila, the mixing is ma'akiv, which I will say means that sometimes in halacha, all that's necessary is what? That a certain state has to be achievable. I don't need to actually achieve that state, but it has to be achievable. So the Gemara says something amazing. The Gemara is suggesting that we have something according to Rebbe Lozer. Rebbe Lozer says that kriya is not ma'akev. You don't need to do the kriya. But what? Kriya must be achievable. So the idea over here is, that's why the halacha is, if I bring the bikurim before Sukkis, fantastic. But if I miss the window before Sukkis, then what? I'll say, at least according to Belazar, you're done. Why? But one second, kriya is not ma'akiv. Kriya is not ma'akiv as long as what? As long as you could read the psukim. The moment that you can't read the psukim is the moment that, unfortunately, you've compromised your ability to bring the bikurim. We'll say just 2 more minutes, then we're going to stop. Rav Acha bar Yaakov, Masni Lakid Rabbi Asi. So we'll say, Rav Acha bar Yaakov, so he stated this halacha in accordance with the statement of Rabbi Asi. I'm going to be Rabbi Yochanan. And I will say ultimately again in his version, Rabbi Yochanan is contradicting himself. Does Rabbi Yochanan actually hold that by Bikurim, Hanocha is Ma'akev, Kriya is not Ma'akev? Is that what he really holds? Rabbi Asi and Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi will say, one second, but we learned. But yet, Rabbi Asi said, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Me'imasai mutar lekohanim. At what point in time are Bikurim permitted ultimately again for Kohanim? So let's read that again. Bikurim me'imasai mutar lekohanim. Va'amrilei haru'uyin lekriya mishakara aleyan. V'she'inru'uyin lekriya mishara p'nei abayis. So what does Rabbi Yochanan say? If they're fit for kriya, then kriya is ma'akev. If they're not fit for kriya, then what? As soon as they are brought to the entrance of the Beis Hamikdash. Rabbi Yochanan, the Gemara says it's a double kasha. Kasha kriya kriya, kasha anocha anocha. Rabbi Yochanan says it's contradictory on two levels. Number one, there's a contradiction with kriya. And number two, there's a contradiction ultimately with hanocha. Rabbi Yochanan, and furthermore, again, the contradiction with hanocha is we're introducing this totally new level of ri'yas p'nei abayis. Where do ri'yas p'nei abayis come from? To which the Gemara says, you're right. Kriya kriya lo kasha. That kriya, so we'll say the two brises that contradict each other in terms of kriya are not a kasha. How Rabbi Shimon, how Rabbanon. Rabbi Shimon is reflecting two different opinions. One is Rabbi Shimon, ultimately again, one is the Rabbanon. Hanocha, hanocha nami lo kasha. Rabbi Shimon says the hanocha brises also don't pose a question. Why? How Rabbi Huda va Rabbanon. One is the opinion of Rabbi Huda, and one ultimately again is the Rabbanon. My Rabbi Huda, Rabbi say, what's the case? What's the position of Rabbi Huda? The sign Rabbi Huda Omer vehinachto. Rabbi say, the pasuk says over here by the Bikurim vehinachto lifnei Hashem Elokecha. What's vehinachto? Rabbi Huda says zut nufa. Rabbi say, vehinachto doesn't refer to the placement of the Bikurim, rather it refers to what? The waving of the Bikurim. We're going to get into this. So the Gemara says, Avinachto zutinufa, atomer zutinufa, o eno ela hanocha mamish. How do you know it means waving? Maybe it means placement. Kishu omer vihinicho harezi hanocha. No, because it will say the pasuk is vihinicho, you shall place it. Vihinicho literally means what? That's the placement. If that's the case, ha mani makayim vihinachto. So what's the, what is vihinicho? So if vihinicho means the placement, what does vihinachto refer to? Zutnuf. Rabbi said this ultimately refers to the waving. Uman tana de palagalid Rabbi Huda. And who is the opinion who argues in Rabbi Huda? That is Rabbi Leizer ben Yaakov, disanya. The coin shall take the basket of Bikurim from the hands of the Israel. Limit ala Bikurim shetu'unin tenufa divrei Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. Teaches us that Bikurim require tenufa, that Bikurim require waving. So I just want to point out, so far we're discussing three different parts in the Bikurim process. There is, or maybe even there's four parts. There's the Hava, there's the Re'ias Pnei Abayis, they're bringing them to the Beis HaMikdash. There is the Kriya, the recitation. There is the Tenufa, the waving. And there is the Hanocha, there is the placement down before the Mizrach. Rabbi say, what's the tension over here? What's the tension? The tension is trying to figure out which parts of this process are Ma'akev. Obviously, the goal is what? The goal is what? You do them all. Rabbi say, now everybody agrees that one part is definitely Ma'akev, which is what? Part number one, which is Riyas Pnei Abayis, bringing it to the Beis HaMikdash. Everybody agrees you have to bring it to the Beis HaMikdash. The problem is, once you get to the Beis HaMikdash, which parts of this process are indispensable? Again, which parts of the three? The Kriya, the Tenufa, the Hanocha, the recitation, the waving, and the placement. Do you need all three? Do you need some of the three? That's what we're working on. So the Gemara says, Limit al habikurim shetun and tenufa de Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. My time de Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. Asya yad yad mishlamim. But we're just going to read this one line, then we'll stop. He learns a gzereshav of yad yad from shlamim. Ksiv hacha. It says over here for lakacha koin atenam yadecha. It says by bikurim the coin will take it, take the basket from your hands. Ksiv yadav to the ena es ishei Hashem. Literally, the hands of the coin will bring the carbon to the fire. So Rabbi say, ultimately, again, that's a reference to Tenufa. Makan Kohen. Rabbi say, just like by Bikurim, who is the one who takes it? It is the Kohen. Aflalon, so too by Shlamim Kohen. Malahalon Bailim. But Rabbi say, just like over there, the owners are involved. Afkan Bailim. So Rabbi say, we have, so what's going on over here? By both Pesukim, Rabbi say, it seems to be that we're learning out that both the owners and the Kohanim are involved. Both by Ola, as well as, both by Shlamim, as well as by Bikurim. Both the owners and the Kohanim are involved. They both say, how could that happen? Get ready for this. Haketzod, maniach kohen yadav tachas yedei bailim umeinif. They both say, both by Shlomo as well as Bikurim, what happens is, the owner holds the basket, or the owner holds the shlamim, and the coin puts his hands underneath the hands of the owner, and they do the act of waving together. So we'll say, we'll stop over here, but just understand, we're still in the middle of this. In other words, we're still trying to figure out which parts of Bikurim ultimately are Ma'akir. So I'll just end off with just a beautiful ha'ara You know, we learned the statement of Rabbi Zeir. So we'll say, I promise you, we will resolve the Bikurim issue. It's going to be okay. We will, meaning we will get to resolution. We will figure out, in Emirat Hashem, which parts are Ma'aki, but Emirat Hashem is going to be in tomorrow's daf. We'll say, just going back for just one moment, in 1 minute, in Rabbi Zeir's statement. So Rabbi Zeir said the beautiful idea of Kalaroi Lebila, Ain Bila Ma'akeves Bo. That as long as, for a Karban Mincha, as long as it's mixable, right, you don't have to actually mix it. So in the Sefer Be'er Ma'im Chaim, the Rebbe brings down a beautiful, beautiful yisod. He says like this. He says there's a beautiful application of this Gemara as well. It quotes the Gemara Maseches Kiddushin, where the Gemara says, "What's a famous Gemara? Hamakadish es haisha al manas shani tzadik gomer." Right, the man goes out and says, "Right, he's makadish. Marry me on the condition that I am a complete tzadik. I'm completely righteous." So that's one of the most famous Talmudic pickup lines, right? Marry me on the condition, right, that I am a complete tzaddik. So we'll say, what's that locha? Afa pishu rasha gomer, even though the guy is a complete rasha, nevertheless, kiddush of kiddushin, the kiddushin works. So we'll say, why? The Gemara says, shema hirher b'tshuva. Because maybe he had thoughts of tshuva. So we've actually discussed this Gemara. This Gemara is probably one of the most quoted Gemaras in all tshuva literature. In all tshuva literature. Why, Rabbi? Because what's the profundity of this Gemara? The profundity of this Gemara is, what has this guy done to change his life? What has he done? Nothing. Nothing. The only thing that's happened is he's had what's called a hear tshuva. Here at Tshuva, sort of gift of Zecher Tzadik Livracha, or Salvation of Zecher Tzadik Livracha, uses Gemara only, they see in the beginning of the Rambam. And the Rambam, even in the beginning of Hilchos Tshuva, seems to make reference to this hear Tshuva concept. In any event, so the idea over here is maybe he had thoughts of Tshuva, and therefore again the Kiddushin is good because he's a Tzadik. So the Be'er Mayim Chaim asks, Ulich Ora, Afim hear B'Tshuva, Eich Na'ase Bazeh Tzadik Gomer. Halo adayin hu meshukatz umetunaf b'chol minei resha. So the Be'er Mayim Chaim says, I don't understand. So what did he adhere her tshuva? So what did he have thoughts of tshuva? The guy, in his lashon over here is pretty stark. He's meshukatz, he's metunaf. He's a bit unclean, right? A bit unclean. Meshukatz, metunaf, meaning the guy is a rasha. The guy was just sinning this morning. He lived his whole life in this terrible, depraved way. And now suddenly, because maybe he had a thought of tshuva, that's it. So we'll say, what's the pshat? Get ready for this. So the Rebbe says so beautifully, Ella, kevan shekvar ro'oi lekach, ein bila ma'akeves. So the Be'er Mayim Chaim says so beautiful, that once you have hear her tshuva, once you have thoughts of tshuva, once you have a thought that, you know what, I need to change, I need to live differently, once you're ra'ui to change, ain't bila ma'akeves. I don't, Rabosai, the power of tshuva is, I don't necessarily have to change anything immediately. I just have to make myself ready for change. Once I'm ready for change, the fact that I have not yet changed does not go ahead and in any way take away from my piety, from my virtuosity, from my beautiful spiritual cleanliness. Says the Rebbe, that's what we learn out. That's kol sharoi labila ain bila ma'akeves bo. As long as you're mixable, you don't have to be mixed. As long as at the end of the day, you are ready to do tshuva, as long as you're in a spiritual cognitive state where you realize you want to change and you have to change, the fact that you have not yet changed is not ma'akev. In the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and in the eyes of yourself, you have to look at yourself ultimately as a tzaddik gomer. All right, we'll stop over here.